Pennsylvania City Council for September 17th, 2012, to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mike Brown?
Here.
Katie Cappellini?
Here.
Doug Hayneum?
Here.
Sandy Hussman?
Here.
Mark Lukey?
Here.
Todd Milner?
Here.
Mary Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of city council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome you to our, all of you to our city council meeting tonight. There are agendas on the two side tables. If there's an issue you wish to address council on, please let me know by raising your hand, and I'll recognize you at the appropriate time. At this point, invite you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mr. Milner.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, the clerk would like me to add as agenda item 7A, ordinance 61-2012, which was enclosed in your packets, but not listed on the agenda. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to schedule a committee of the whole meeting.
Let's just put that as 11A.
That's it for me. Thank you.
Other members of council, Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to add some thank yous regarding the honoring of Chip Davis this past Friday.
Okay, you want to do that a little closer to the top, about 6A on that one. Is that okay? Other members of council, Mrs. Hussman.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a few comments regarding Sylvania Historical Village and the SCAP board, the boards that I'm on.
Is that all right at 12 with you?
That's fine.
You said SCAP and historical.
Yes.
Other additions from members of city council? Seeing none, Mr. Eichenauer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Stroyer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Protis?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mull?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Is there a motion to amend the agenda as, or approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 4 is approval of meeting minutes from our last meeting on September the 4th. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes for September 17th, 2012 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from September 4th, 2012 be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And those meeting minutes are approved. Moving on to agenda item 5. There was a Utilities Committee meeting held this evening in these chambers at 6:30. Committee Chairman Mike Brown for a report.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At 6:32 on 9/17, we held a Utilities Environment Committee meeting to discuss the agreement with Whiteford Township for the discharge of sanitary sewers from their service area number 2. We opened the meeting with an explanation of the agreement from Law Director Jim Moan. He explained the process that has taken place with Whiteford Township, and also explained the limited discharge in the agreement, and that the rates were based on out-of-state rates. And then Kevin Aller went on to explain, you know, the operation of the agreement and how it would affect the city. He also explained to us that the flow meter would be maintained and operated by the city and would be in the best interest of the city. It was then recommended, the motion was to recommend it for approval by council, and the vote was 4-0. I guess in that being said, if there's no further questions, I'd like to introduce ordinance number 60-2012. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with Whitefoot Township for the discharge of sanitary sewer from the service area of Whitefoot Township's sewage disposal system number 2, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 60-2012 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, ordinance number 60-2012.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 60-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 60-2012 is approved. For the student here tonight, let me explain why we took two votes. The first vote was to waive the second and third readings and to read by title only. The charter, which dates back to 1961, required that all ordinances be read in their entirety three times because people didn't have access to economical Xerox machines or have the ability to read it on the internet. With that ability, we save time to be able to read it just once and by title only. Second vote was to pass it as an emergency measure, which takes a supermajority, or 5 out of the 7 members of council agreeing, and that way the ordinance can move ahead and not come back to council for a second and third vote. So that's the purpose of that. We do have another ordinance on tonight, so you'll get to hear that sequence again. Moving on to agenda item 6, I welcome Mr. Roger Brandell back to our council chamber. Mr. Brandell, I understand you had some trouble again with your income tax returns. Our new finance director has reported to me that you indeed gave us copies of them, and they have been reviewed. I would let the finance director talk about that, but we don't want to talk about your personal returns, but they were okay, as I'm told.
Well, actually, this is moved out beyond that.
All right, go right ahead.
What I would like to find out from the city council is, first of all, why do we even need to have a city in this area, given that we have a township that totally surrounds the city? I've looked over the budget of the city, and from what I can tell, the city spends more money than the township with a third less residents, probably a third less geographical location for them.
Probably a lot more than a third less.
Probably a lot more than a third less.
A lot less than a third, yeah.
And the only thing I see out of the city is its propensity to harass citizens. And I don't see any additional benefit that the city provides. And I've seen that the city's gone over budget. I was once told that 1.5% income tax was adequate to cover the city expenses, but yet I've seen that there's been a millage that's gone by to pay for debt repayment of the city, as well as police pension funds. And I wonder why the city can't stay within their budget. You have so many other projects that you got to throw out there that really don't need to be done as a necessity for residents.
Well, you've asked a lot of questions there, and...
No, I've got more.
All right. First off, your property taxes are lower as a resident in the city. I believe they're 4 or 5 mils lower as a city resident, and as a part of that, you also have refuse collection picked up at no additional charge. You also have green waste recycling. If you do not pay income taxes, which you obviously do, but only a third of our residents end up paying income taxes to the city of Sylvania, they actually come out ahead on their bottom line because their property taxes are lower and refuse and green waste is at...
So maybe everybody that's a resident of Sylvania should be paying property taxes paid equal to the township and do away with the income tax.
We would need to disband the city. The charter dates back to 1961, and I'm not sure what the process would be to that. I'm sure that you can start a petition to do that.
Well, I've read up on the procedures of doing that.
Oh, good.
But I also read up on it. There's actually a nice article in the Yale Law Review from Michelle Wild Anderson.
I'm sorry, which law review?
Yale.
Yale, okay.
For the Yale.
Yeah, I couldn't understand what you were saying, I'm sorry.
You might want to look at that. Over 300 cities have disincorporated in the last 10 years. It talks about the life cycle of the city, and sometimes, like, the life cycle of people, that it becomes a need not to have a city. I think this city is getting to that point where maybe budgets are out of control. I understand you guys have debt, but then you also have a great big huge pile of cash that probably should be returned back to the citizens.
Purpose of the savings is that we do have reserves in the capital improvements fund, and in order to pay for improvements as they are used, we sell bonds. That gives the city more flexibility in bad economic times, like right now, not to raise taxes. Our income tax rate is actually the lowest in the area, as I'm sure your research shows. Toledo's is 2.25%. And the ones that are 1.5%, many of them, well...
A milestone of economic fiscal responsibility.
All right. Well, we appreciate your comments. You can ask more questions if you want. I'm not sure I'm going to use this to answer them.
So was there anything else that I'm missing besides garbage collection and sewage?
I think that our services are better than out in the township. We have, I think, faster response on trash. We have very good zoning. We also have a higher quality of life with our green programs than I think the township has. We have led the township to do many of the things they offer because the city offered them first. We provided leadership to produce sage art. We also went out and purchased or restarted Centennial Terrace. We purchased Paysetter Park to get that going. The city has shown a lot of leadership there, sir. And your comments are welcome, but one person saying it is not going to have the city disbanded. You need to follow the procedure you've apparently looked at.
Oh, I understand. I understand. I just came here to find out your opinion of what you believe the city does for us greater than the township. And what you've told me doesn't sound like a whole lot.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't the township, majority of the township roads maintained by Lucas County? You know, you talked about our budget being larger than the township's, but the township has three times the area or four times the area. I think a lot of the services that are provided to the township and not included in their budget are services that are provided by Lucas County, whereas the city does not get that benefit.
Because they're a city. But if they became part of the township again, they would probably go back to having some of the tax dollars we're already paying through sales tax and other county taxes.
You're quite accurate in that township residents in non-incorporated areas benefit more from county sales tax and other county taxes. We in effect subsidize township residents by having our residents pay for services that the county pays for outside of the city limits. You're quite accurate on that one.
And maybe we should go back to being part of the township so that we're not subsidizing other people and paying our fair share instead of paying a more exorbitant share. Especially given the fact that you just told me that only a third of us pay income taxes. Why isn't everybody paying income taxes?
Because you pay it where you work. There are a lot of people that pay income tax to Sylvania that do not work in our city limits. For instance, at the hospital or at the university, Toledo residents come out and they pay their income taxes where they work. And that's why two-thirds of the people in Sylvania don't pay income taxes here, because they work in Toledo or someplace else. And they pay those income taxes where they work.
But I do believe that the city has the ability to rescind that as well, don't they? I think I've read it on in your charter ordinances.
To rescind what, sir?
The credit for taxes paid in the cities.
Well, we certainly do.
Yeah.
And most municipalities have. Oregon, for instance, only gives half credit. Holland only gives half credit. Oregon, which has a higher income tax at 2.25%, only gets half credit. Toledo talked about doing it, and they backed away from that. They still do give full credit, as does Maumee.
Well, maybe we should reduce that so that the tax burden's a little fairer to people. We shouldn't pay overall more taxes in the township.
Well, most people don't, Mr. Brandel. The fact is that most people don't. It's a very, it's a, if you look at median incomes in the community, most people pay lower taxes who live in the city of Sylvania than live in the township. There's a, that's not everybody, but the vast majority of people pay less because they earn income, because they don't pay income taxes in the city of Sylvania, they pay them to the place where they work. Most of the revenue that we collect in income taxes are collected from people who work here and don't live here. They come into our community, they have the benefit of our police service, they have the benefit of our roads, the benefit of our community, and they contribute to that through their income tax. Let me finish, Mr. Brandel, okay? You've been talking, I'll talk a little bit. The tax structure that we have in the city, if it were adopted across the board in the township, there would be an overall reduction in the total number of taxes paid by the residents of the city and the township. And that study was done by the University of Toledo. Mark Lukey and I worked hard on that committee to put forward that issue of looking at merging the township and the city into a single municipal entity. The cost numbers of that were pretty clear that most people would pay lower taxes in a combined city of Sylvania that covered the entirety of the township and the city. There are certain high-income individuals who would have paid more because they would have paid municipal income taxes, but most people, and about 75% of the people, would have paid significantly less, and of the other 25, about 15% would have paid pretty comparable to what they're paying now. And that study, I think, is still online by the at the University of Toledo Department of Urban Affairs, and you can go online and look at that. So if you want to increase the tax burden on Sylvania residents, you could do that by disincorporating.
I don't think that would increase the...
They would, that absolutely would, because the residents who live here and work here, the people who work here would not pay an income tax anywhere except back in Toledo and back in Maumee and back in Oregon where they live. They come into the community, contribute a reasonable share to the place where they work, an important part of their life. And then they go back home and they get partial credit from most of these other communities. On the other hand, the people that live in the city of Sylvania, like me, who work in the city of Toledo, like me, get full credit for what we pay in the city of Toledo up to our income tax rate. Now, I also have income in four other cities and I pay income tax on those other cities here in the city of Sylvania. So I pay income tax here, income tax in Toledo, income tax, I think I also pay income tax in Columbus, and real estate taxes here and to the county. But if you look at the studies, the actual studies that were done, your premise is false. The premise that you would pay less if we disincorporated is false. And you ought to go back and look at that study and study your facts before you tell your neighbors they can save money by disincorporating.
Well, I don't think my premise is false. I think it's nice that you want to keep the city of Sylvania as the city of Sylvania, but I don't believe it. And I believe that if the city of Sylvania is only taxing the residents, only a third of them, then you just change that so that it brings down the overall tax for everybody.
We tax everybody who works in the city of Sylvania. Pays an income tax someplace.
Probably more. People.
Some of them pay them in Toledo. Some of them pay them in Maumee. Some of them pay them in Oregon. If they don't pay them in those other municipalities that have income taxes, they pay them in the city of Sylvania. Every resident in the city of Sylvania gets taxed at the same rate, regardless of where they work. That's unique among the municipalities in Lucas County. Well, I don't think it's unique. Same is true in Toledo. Although Toledo pays more than, I pay higher income tax rates in the city of Toledo than I pay here. And you can argue with the facts, you can speculate something different, But we've done the study, we have done the work, we hired a group of independent individuals retained with some grants from some local, from the chamber and some others. We did the work to do this study. So we're not guessing, we're not speculating, we know this to be a fact. And that is the fact, and that study is still out there.
And I understand that you guys tried to get the township to merge with the city. I understand why this township did not want to merge with the city. They didn't want to get the extra tax burden.
Actually, I gotta straighten that out. We did not ask the township to merge with us. The Sylvania Community Improvement Corporation and the Chamber of Commerce thought that was a good idea. That was not our initiative. We did not support it, we did not pass an ordinance recommending that vote. I'm not even sure that it would have passed in the city. But to characterize it that we went out and did it is inaccurate. That was not our initiative.
I was directly involved in that, and I thought it was a great idea because I thought it was a mechanism to lower the overall tax burden on the residents in Sylvania, in the city of Sylvania and in Sylvania Township. And that was based on the empirical work done by the folks at the University of Toledo and their urban affairs group. And it was a excellent study, and fact is that I think, you know, small number of individuals in the township who were relatively high income found it to their economic advantage to fund a misinformation campaign about that effort, such that we never even got past the study stage so that we could have, you know, a clear presentation of how that would work to the community to vote on. So I disagree with your premise, obviously. And the other nice thing about living in this community, and it is a great community. I love living in Sylvania. I chose to live in the city 27 years ago. I would choose to do that again, but you can have the benefits of our Sylvania schools and Sage Yard and all the Centennial Terrace and all the things that the mayor has been involved with as council member and as mayor to make this community so special by living in the township.
Well,
and that's an option.
My understanding is you can live in the township and enjoy the city schools. You can even live in some places in Ottawa Hills and Toledo and enjoy the city schools.
If you're careful where you live, you can.
Well,
Mr. Mayor, this is an interesting discussion. I'm not sure it's relevant to the business of council tonight. I always appreciate citizens when they come in and share their views. I think we're willing to embrace that. I think it's particularly relevant tonight because we have a student here who's taking a civics class, and so he's had a good opportunity to hear some give and take. I would be more than happy to continue this conversation outside of council, but I think at this point we have an agenda, and I'd encourage us to move on.
All right. We appreciate your input.
Yep.
Thank you. At this point, let's move to added agenda item 6A, which Mr. Milner would like to talk about the Chip Davis events of last Friday.
On another note, Mr. Mayor, I have several thank yous that I would like to offer regarding the planning of the Chip Davis Day that occurred last Friday. I had never met Mr. Davis before last Friday, and I can say, and several other people have said this, that he seemed greatly humbled and honored by coming back to his hometown in honor of Chip Davis Day and having Silica Drive honorarily named for him. There are several people I want to thank, and I'll do it quickly. First of all, from the schools, school board Dave Spies, Dr. Rieger, and Nancy Crandall. Nancy Crandall was very, very involved with this. I, of course, want to thank my fellow colleagues from City Council for supporting this, as well as you, Mayor, the town crier, Mike Lieber, Kevin Auer, Pat Livingston, and our streets department for all their work, Laura Bigelow. And a big thank you goes out to also Police Chief Rodas. He was provided transportation for Chip Davis over at the football game. And the big thank you I want to send out to Bill Sanford for all his work in making this day possible. This has been about 2 years of work putting this day together, and I thank you all.
All right.
Thank you for your input to get that started as well, Mr. Milner. I know that you brought it to us and championed it and pushed it along when it lagged, so we appreciate that. Okay, back on the published agenda, we are up to agenda item 7. This has to do with a final change order for the River Trail Improvements Phase 1 project. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The River Trail project is essentially complete. A couple minor punch list items that need to be resolved. The weather's probably such that the contractor can get that done now. Part of that was receiving and things of that nature. There was an item on the that was originally part of the contract. It was basically clearing of understory of invasive species. And our city crews had begun that process before the project had started. And we believe that it's in our better interest if our city staff continues to do that work versus having a contractor come in. Contractors don't have a horticulturist on staff or things of that nature, and we're afraid that the things that have already been planted or removed, that the contractor may damage those. So we're removing that from the contract. This is merely a accounting or paperwork issue to make sure that the amount of payment made to the contractor matches what the contract amount is. The change order is a deduct of $700, and we recommend approval.
Anticipate any future change orders on the project?
No, this will be the final one.
All right. Mr. Lukey.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 61, 2012. Copies have previously been made available to members of council. Therefore, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to approve change order number 3, final, to this city's agreement with Hank's Plumbing and Heating Company for the River Trail Improvements Phase 1 project, which reflects the actual materials used and work performed on this project. Decreasing the contract amount by $700, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 61, 2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage of ordinance number 61, 2012.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 61, 2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 61, 2012 is approved. Agendas 8 and 9 both have to do with notices from the Ohio Division of Liquor Control about the transfer of existing liquor licenses. The first one is from the former Ski's Restaurant at 5834 Monroe Street to the Amango Restaurant at 5228 Monroe Street, Suite 1. Chief, did you investigate this one and tell us where that address is?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The new restaurant located right down on Monroe Street, adjacent to Target, right in Toledo right there.
So it's going into, it's moving out of the city into the township.
Yeah, it's moving out of the city. It's in Toledo, Ohio now. So that's where the new restaurant Amango is. We reviewed the interested parties, and the police department has no objections to this transfer.
How does that work? Thank you, Jim.
I already whispered that in his ear.
You'll notice it's good that it came up in conjunction with the next transaction. The city was in some respects involved in the second transaction, but not the first. As you know, there is from time to time imbalances in available liquor licenses in various communities. The Ohio Department of Liquor Control over the last number of years has provided another exemption which allows a liquor license to be transferred from one community to another to aid in an economic development project. If the seating community doesn't object, the receiving community is willing to accept. So we have a one-for-one flip here, where we have a liquor license in the city of Sedalia that for an economic development purpose that must be, that was obviously submitted to the Bureau, going from the city to the township. The next one, we have a liquor license coming from Columbus, Ohio, to the city of Sedalia for the new element one on, in Sedalia for an economic development project. It's happened one other time. The city was involved with a liquor license coming in, and that was not for skis, but I think it was for Pasta Fina when that came in a number of years ago. So it's relatively new to the scene, but it is a way of equaling the balance for economic development to allow those things to occur.
There's still a cap on that number of liquor licenses we have.
There is an exemption for economic development purposes if it passes. So
so can we hoard these?
There is safekeeping that is permitted. You know, as you know, if you lose your business in a community, you are allowed to safekeep it with Columbus without a location for, I think, up to a year. After that, it becomes open. And so what they're now doing is engaging in this economic development process that I think moves them around. I don't know the specifics of this one. I know a little bit about the second one, but its turnaround is what...
It's fair play.
Yes,
is this, are there licenses readily available for us?
If you want to have maybe complete licenses, probably not. Bits and pieces of them, yes. Trying to gather, and I guess it's the D's that are, the D1s might be the tough ones.
Yeah.
You know, by my unofficial count, we're up two and down one.
Well, I'm just thinking about our SOMO development and
Understood.
Some opportunities there.
There's another alternative, of course, is entertainment districts, and we can explore those options as well, but we aren't there yet.
So theoretically, we can reject this.
Theoretically, you could have a hearing. The rejection is ultimately a Department of Control decision.
They are valuable assets.
So theoretically, if we rejected this, then whoever is selling it is going to lose money.
We don't make the decision.
No, I know, but...
Yeah. There'd have to be. We'd have to show cause in a hearing to reject it.
Correct.
Which, according to Chief Rodas, does not exist.
Probably the only reason we could show is that there aren't enough in Sylvania. And I don't think we can do that while we're gaining one here. So.
Right.
All right. So, Mrs. Westfall, if it's
Thank
your
you
pleasure,
for
we need a motion to not request a local hearing, unless you choose to request one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that no hearing be requested for the transfer of the D1 license from the former Skis restaurant to Gaijin doing business as a Mango restaurant.
Second.
Been moved and seconded not to request a hearing for this transfer out of Sylvania. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Move on to agenda item 9. This is the one for the new Element 112 restaurant that's going to open up here in the old Kroger store, and it's many fissions since then. Sterling Liquor Store for a while, and lots of other things. I'm coming all the way from Columbus. That really is odd that it's coming that far. There has to be some sort of a statewide listing or marketplace for those then. Mm-hmm. And they are valuable. They are sold. They are held in safekeeping by some companies. We've had a couple of those come out of safekeeping in Sylvania lately to go back into operation. But this is all the way from Columbus. Chief, any report on this one?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Once again, we have reviewed all the parties listed and conducted records checks on everybody. Finding none, the police department has no objections to this transfer.
Mayor, just to remind us all, Chris Mixon, who was the owner of this new restaurant, was in council a while back and kind of gave us a quick briefing. It sounds like it really will be an interesting addition to our downtown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that no hearing be required for the transfer of the D1 and D2 licenses from Hussein's Enterprises in Columbus to Element 112 on North Main Street, Sylvania.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded not to request a hearing for this second liquor transfer from Columbus to Sylvania. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 10 is committee reports. We have none listed on the agenda right now, but committee chairman, are there any requests? Now, moving on to agenda item 11, we do have 11A added to schedule a committee of the whole meeting. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you. I would like to check availability for scheduling a committee of the whole meeting for October 9th or October 10th at 8 a.m. And the purpose of the meeting would be to talk a little bit about negotiations and budget issues around that. And George, I don't know if you've got any.
8 a.m., she said.
It would be a legal case. Couldn't do that.
I need a day.
I can't do it now.
I can't do it now.
You know, well, then we will check some availability of that individual who will be joining us and float some dates back out, see what other options help or whatever.
Next week, they might be available.
They need the best.
Fridays, did you say?
So I tossed that out.
I could not be there at 8 o'clock. In fact, I should only be there Tuesday or Wednesday.
I can't. I'm sorry.
And we'll try and get some other dates.
Does it have to be 8 o'clock or worse?
George,
what happened? Not on Tuesday.
I think based on the availability of the attorney, but we'll talk about it at the next meeting. It's not critical that we schedule it today. We'll get some other dates to talk about it at our next council meeting. You know, I think why don't we let us just inject me an alternate date. And then possibility. George, do you have any other thoughts on that?
This is scheduling of a committee of the whole meeting can be done by the president of council. You don't have to vote on it. She can schedule when a date comes up. She can schedule it. We'll have Margie coordinate whatever dates are available amongst you. Okay. Moving on to added agenda item 12, SCAT and historical board comments by Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just wanted to inform you, if you haven't already heard, that Sylvania Historical Village is going to have a membership party, which is something they've talked about for a long time, and it's come together. It's a wine, beer, and cheese party, invitation only. And I've been asked to invite you all. Some of you probably got this postcard. If you've ever been a member, you would have gotten this card, hopefully, in the mail. If you didn't, it is by invitation only, but I can get you in. So the date is, thank you for asking, it is the next Thursday, the 27th, and it's from 6:30 to 8:30. It says, we will begin in the museum for Village News, a walk into the past through the buildings, and a party in the car barn. And there is an RSVP needed. So anyone who's interested, I can give you one of these cards. We would love to have you come. And if you're not a member, we can get you in that night.
If they join.
It's all about the money. Okay, In addition to that, I have from the staff board, and I'm sure Chief Rose knows all about this, is the next drug drop-off, which is September 29th from 10 a.m. to 2, right here in this building, sponsored by SCAT and the Mental Health and Recovery Services Board of Lucas County. You've probably not seen this before. If you have a place to post this, that would be wonderful, too. The more prescription drugs we can get off the streets, the better off we are, or out of your medicine cabinets, and not down the toilet. That is not the way to get rid of your drugs. It's bad for the environment. So this is the only way to get rid of your...
My colleagues are working.
Good. So that will be that. The only other thing I have is it's a giveaway. I have, at my expense, purchased 4 tickets that I cannot use to the Twilight Thursdays. I don't know if any of you have attended at the Pinnacle. They have a couple of charities they have on Thursday nights, and SCAT is going to be on this Thursday, the 20th. It's, I think it says $100 ticket here. Oh, maybe not. Maybe it's only 10. But I did get excited, didn't I? So if you would like these tickets, they're free to whoever could attend or would like to pass them on to somebody who might attend.
Thanks.
Because I'll be out of town, unfortunately.
All right, that brings us to the end of our agenda. As for the information items, you all have information item B, which is a report of the Planning Commission member. I know 3 of you were there for that meeting, but I see there is a item which was not included in the meeting minutes, and I need to share it with you. There was, residents came up about this development, the condominiums, and one resident, Mr. Pat Stark, complained that there was inadequate water pressure out there at the west end of town. And although I didn't answer to him, when the next person came up with concern, I said that we are building a water tower out there. I thought Mr. Stark knew that. That we'll solve that problem. No, I'm not joking. He complained that it very low water pressure and it was a problem. We are addressing that issue of Mr. Stark.
Earlier in the evening, he complained that there was a 7-minute wait to turn from his street onto Jerry's street.
That is in the minutes here. Yeah.
Rivals his claim about this being the world's largest water tower.
Okay. Anything else from anyone? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this city council stands adjourned until its next scheduled meeting on Monday, October the 1st at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.